conversion in the life of a believer? What does your spiritual diet consist of? Today, Pastor Ron will answer these questions and more as he explains how to achieve maximum results in your new identity with Christ in part two of his series, Outfitting for the Kingdom, with a message titled, Conversion is a New Diet and Conversation.
Possessive. It's their God. You understand? It was because now that's not us. That's not we and us. We are sinners. We can do what we want to, but they can't do that. Oh, it's all right for me to cuss, and every time that's cussing. But y'all, they and them can't do it. But after your conversion, now they become the us and we that you were become now the they and the them. Because now you say, they can cuss, but we can't. They can live like this, but we can't. It changes your whole identity. And you must recognize you cannot continue to walk like you used to walk. And God wants to change that so you can walk right. Living saved should not be a strain. It should look like one to the world, but it shouldn't be a strain to you because you've already made up your mind. So today, we're going to continue with this life in Christ change, looking at conversion. Hear me well. Conversion is a new diet and conversation. All right, relax, all you overeaters. Conversion is a new diet, and it's a new communication. Let's talk about it. The word of God says, Corey, if you will, 2 Peter 3:18. Amen. I got a call this morning at 7, maybe a little after 7 o'clock, from Sister Linda Owens, who I thought she was back home from the hospital. She's still in the hospital and hoping to be released today. She says she's doing well and all, you know, and everything has gone well, except their blood pressure, and we're praying about that. But that wasn't what she called me about. She called me to let me know that if I mess with Corey today, the Lord will surely visit me. That's what she called me for. I know I'm in the hospital. I won't be there today, but I want you to know if you mess with Corey, the Lord will surely. I told her I'd just take my chances and suffer my consequences. Read that for me, Corey.
But grow in grace.
But grow. Please hear these words. But grow in grace. I don't care where you are now. Just don't be there next week. Don't be there tomorrow. Grow. Tell somebody, grow. You might not be full grown now. You may not have achieved everything, but at least do something. Grow. Don't find yourself in the same place you were. That's the same thing the devil beat up on you last year. He's beating up on you. You ought to be past that. The same failures you had before. You ought to say, well, Lord, at least I didn't fall as hard this time. What if something? But grow. And how do we grow? Grow in grace. Now, the word grace, help me, Lord, not to do too much. It's in my notes. But I am standing right here. Grace is two words. One word is to and from God. It's from God to man, and from man to man, and from man to God. That word grace is hesed. That word hesed means that I have steadfast love for God. I just love God. He just loves me. That I just love another person. That's that hesed. Hesed is a word that means that we have strong affection for each other, and we do things because of that. The second word is hen. Hen, God can have for us, and we can have for each other. But we can't have it for God. You see, that word is favor, and it means to give a favor. So God can favor us. Oh! He can do favors for us. And we can do favors and give favor to each other. But we can never do a favor for God. We can never favor God. We can never, you understand? There is nothing he needs from us. There is nothing he requires, nothing he's without unless we do it. A favor is what we do for someone in order to make them know that we got their back. Ain't nobody got his back. So, it says that we should grow in grace. How do I grow in this grace and this favor with God? How do I grow in this? How do I mature in this? How? By the knowledge, growing grace, and in the knowledge that God reveals to us who he is, the knowledge of what? Read the rest of it.
In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, this is the key, though. We want to grow in grace and we want to grow in knowledge, but there is a reason for the growth and the knowledge. It's not so you can be, you can wear a tiara. It's not so you can sit on a throne. Not so you can wear a title. Read the rest of that.
To him be glory.
To him be glory.
Both now.
To him be glory. Everything about your growth is about the glory of God. We get all excited because we build a building. We get all excited because we got numbers. We get all excited because we can hire a great musician. We get all because we can hire a great speaker to come. That's irrelevant to God. It is what glorifies him. So the purpose of this conversion is that God might be glorified. I know you thought God was so desperate. He needed somebody so bad and you were so wonderful to him that he selected you and then tell you, live like you want to. I'm just glad you said to say. It is not like that. I keep warning you. He says, and many will come to him in that day and they will know who he is. And they will say, Lord, Lord, look what we did. And he will say, I never knew you. Now, it's one thing if he says, and I never knew you. But since you thought I did, I'm going to have mercy upon you. He did not say it. He said, depart from me. And they were cast in the everlasting torment. Well, let me go. So the new conversion, the conversion has to do with you having now a new diet. There is a song. You know, I used to could sing. I did. I mean, kind of. Grant, didn't I used to? That's right, Grant. I used to could sing. I have to get somebody who knew me back in there. So I'm going to try this. I'm just going to tell you the words. How many of you remember, the truth is, Grant, the reason I called your name is because you used to sing this song. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. Jesus will carry you through. Listen. Shun evil companions. Bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence. Don't take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. Jesus will carry you through. You see, you are what you consume. You are what you consume. Lord, don't let them hurt me, Lord. Don't let them hurt me. If what you consume is romantic novels, if what you consume is crime shows, what you consume is gossip, if what you consume is pornography, that's what you are. I know you dress nice and you look good, but God knows what you are because he see what you made up of. And see, it influences all those things, influence the way we think and the way we see other things. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. It is absolutely crazy for somebody wanting notoriety so badly. Notoriety. Not fame. But notoriety so bad that I want to be remembered. I'm going to walk into a movie theater and just shoot anybody. I don't know them. They have never done anything to me. I'm just going to kill as many as I can. I'm going to go out of here and my name will be something. Had to go in him before that something couldn't come. See, sometimes we're really dealing with what comes out, but nothing comes out unless something goes in first.
Now, Pastor Ron, why do you feel so many Christians today straddle the fence between their old identity and their new life with Christ?
One who is aware and confident with who God says he is has no need to vacillate between two personalities. Often our minds are in conflict because we allow input which deters us from accepting as true who God has said we are. We must guard the gates of our mind, the eye gate, the ear gate, and the expressive gate of our mouth or tongue. Guard your mind, for as a man thinks, so he is.
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ron Eagleton. Let's continue the message, Conversion is a New Diet in Conversation.
Let's just look a little bit today at the new diet. We're going to talk just a little bit about, well, you know, when I say a little bit, that's just language. What you take in through the gates of your life determine the influences. Well, let me say this. What you take in through the gates of your life will determine influences. That's still not what I want. Will influence. That's not what I want. You see, because what I want is what you receive, what you consume. What you consume is the influence, that's what I want, of your life. You see, your life is not just wandering around. There are things that influence or motivate or move your life. Sometimes, I'm just bothering stuff, but sometimes we end up in a horrific marriage because we were consumed by a need that made us eat something else. Do you understand? Because my need not to be alone, my perception that I am not whole alone drives me to grab somebody that's going to ruin my life. I'm consumed not with the individual I chose. I'm consumed with that loneliness or that fear or those doubts that I'll ever become whatever. I'm talking to somebody today. I don't care whether you say something or not. When what God wants us to be, it's consumed with him, and he'll direct every issue in our life. But sometimes we're in a mess and we don't know how to get out of it because what we consumed, and let me tell you, if you got some issues with your own life, and some of them may be natural issues, if you have a natural issue about sexuality, about need, let me tell you, you don't need to watch some things on television. There are some magazines you don't, you know, get the old folks books for vacation. Somebody has to catch that later. But there were some things that your mind, you cannot let your mind drift on. There were some things you can't think about. There were some things you can't watch if you already got an issue in your life, because there are some things that God will use to fix that. But if you keep feeding it, it'll keep growing. After a while, you're in the middle of something. Y'all don't have to like me. It is true. You're in the middle of something. You're weeping. You're crying. You're crying out to God, deliver me. When if you just hadn't eat it, you wouldn't be dying from the poison. See, all your activity, am I giving you too much? All your activity and behavior is directed by the mind. The whole network of your life comes from control central in your mind. Paul instructs the Romans to be transformed. How do I do it? You got to have a new mind. He says, renewing your mind. Peter says, I got a goal when he writes 2 Peter. The whole book of 2 Peter, he says his purpose is to stir up your pure mind. Stir up so you don't get some stuff going on. Let me stir up your pure mind. We'll separate your unpure mind. You see, when things come, if you will greet them with your pure mind, they'll be absurd. Oh, Lord. You see, if you greet dirty stuff with your dirty mind, you'll end up doing dirty things. But if dirty stuff comes, because you can't stop that from being dirty stuff. But when dirty stuff comes up and you stir up your pure mind, it will start to fight against the dirty mind, and you will be victorious. There are some things that are just natural. They are normal until they get abnormal. You see, it's natural and normal to want to eat. Yeah. The Bible said that's the reason you have a belly. That's the Bible saying. He said the belly was made for food. And food was made for the belly. That's the Bible said that. And that's true. Except when you eat the wrong thing. Or you eat too much of the right thing. Which becomes then the wrong thing. If you eat irregularly. If you eat too little. If you eat too much, if you eat too often, if you eat too, what's the opposite of often? Well, you got it. All of those things. If you put in your body what God never meant to put in your body, then it upsets the whole system that God has. I know we don't like, I don't like this very much either. Hey, man, we got out of service, Sister Taylor, on last Sunday when we finished the celebration for founders, and we said we have some refreshment for you. You know, this church don't do refreshments. We eat. I mean, we eat. We eat, and then we say, we got anything you need me to take home? We eat. But on last week, we said, we'll just have refreshments. And so we got out there, and we noticed that the people, you know, we were full, but when we got out there, people went home. I don't want no cake and punch, and it's 12 at 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Oh, no. I want some food. I went in and they said, Pastor, you want some cake? I said, no, I want something with some grease in it. I'm going to find me something that's got grease in it. It is a natural thing for our body to desire food, but we got to regulate it. It is a natural thing. Oh, Jesus. God put a desire in you not to want to be alone. He even told you it ain't good, man, to be alone. And along with that comes a body urge. I know we always want to make it flesh, but it's a body urge. See, it is natural. You're not evil because you desire sex. It's a natural thing. It's natural. But there come some problems when you have any appetite that is uncontrolled or out of the will of God and his direction and instruction for it. I'm doing good. So now if you know you got a natural urge, but you don't have a legal release. See, you got a natural, but you don't have a legal release. Then you got problems when you start looking at some things on television. And I'm saying television because I know y'all don't go to those other places, you know. I know. And I'm not talking about the movies. I'm talking about some other places. There are some other books you don't go to, so I don't have to address that. You understand, your appetite is never going to be assuaged by you feeding it. All of us that are fat off something. Think I'll move along. And James teaches us in James 1 and 7 and 8. I'm doing pretty good. In 7 and 8. That we have a problem if we feed our mind the wrong thing. We're going to look at those gates in just a minute. I'm going to look at, three gates we're going to look at. There are more, but we're going to look at three gates. We're going to look at the eye gate, the ear gate, and the mouth gate today. We're not going to look at them extensively, but we'll be, we'll have you something that you can start with. But Paul talks to us about our mind, and then James tells us in James 1, 7 and 8. Do you have it up there? Read 7. I mean, do 7 and then read 8, Corey.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Keep reading.
A double-minded man.
That's the part. He put the verses opposing, the opposite. So you have to read the second verse before you know who he's talking about in the first verse. So what I want you to do is read 8 and then go back to 7.
A double-minded man
is unstable in all his ways. Keep reading.
For let not that man think that he shall receive.
And he ain't going to get nothing from God. That's scripture. Now let me read it. Let me read it from another version. A schizophrenic man. Is unstable in all of his ways. And because he doesn't know what he wants, he can have nothing. I don't know what I want. I want to be saved.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 072212 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.